Dabudi Shakyamuni, who is referred to as the lion-like, and unequaled speaker, unsurpassable teacher. And the reason why he happened to be, he happened to have achieved such a quality is because of his being under the domination of the great compassion. And that generational compassion in him is not just for once or twice like that, but has been habituated in this altruistic attitude of compassion for the for three countless aeons. And this altruistic compassion that is complemented by the incredible wisdom. So it is because of these two components that the Buddha is able, he remains a kind of icon, whereby even now, after 2,500 years ago, people still revere him with tremendous respect and admiration, and of great benefit even nowadays to a great number of beings. So all these benefits, they are primarily rooted to his great compassion, which simply thinks about the benefit of others. And on top of that, if you look at the various the historical accounts of different teachers, we see that all those great teachers who remain as great teachers and so forth in the history of the mankind, we see that they are able to maintain such kind of history or account because of the sense of altruism, sense of compassion towards others. And whereas those people in the history of mankind who are harmful by nature, who only have the intention to harm others or inflict pain on others, so the moment the later generation would think about that, those figures would simply have a sense of uneasiness, a sense of pain. And although so these people who are known for the being notorious, so although they have the, in terms of the physical characteristics like having eyes and nose and so forth, they are just the same when we compare with those great beings, the altruistic beings. And yet what categorizes, what distinguishes these people from the altruistic beings is because of the difference in terms of thinking and attitude. Because so the person, so deep down they have this sense of harmfulness, sense of causing harsh actions and so forth upon others, inflicting pain upon others. So people tend to have a natural inclination to do something good. And if somebody just says even a dry praise to you, you would simply like to have that. And now, if you take yourself as unbiased third person, just witnessing, so So we remain unbiased kind of spectator and really try to see as to what is actually the difference between these two groups of people and these two different attitudes that are present in these two groups of people. So through unbiased thinking, just check whether or not that sense of altruism, that sense of compassion or warm-heartedness is something good or something bad. So if you do that, so we will naturally, will very easily arrive at the conclusion that these attitudes, altruistic and the virtuous attitudes, they will lead to the coming out of the virtuous verbal and physical actions. So it is through that kind of reflection that you have to make a resolution that henceforth I'm going to do the way those great persons did, and the way these great persons really tried to generate such altruistic attitude, this compassion, and so forth. So you should make the resolution that henceforth I'm going to be a kind man, warm-hearted person, which would bring about all virtuous or positive verbal and physical actions which will benefit to others and for oneself as well. And if you think in a general way, so whoever he or she is feels something, feels that you have a natural feeling that, I should be looking attractive. So in terms of your hairdressing, in terms of your facial expression, clothing, whatever, whether male or female. So naturally there would be a good impression. You can give a good impression just for a short moment simply through this physical attractiveness. So whereas if that very attractive person, physically attractive person, if he's mentally corrupted or mentally rotten, so then after being after trying to be with that person for about 2 days, you'll really feel astonished or kind of shocked to see the person in a very different perspective. So we've been constantly talking about something which is something which cannot have any kind of disparity with the way it appears to you. In short, saying that, so whosoever appears something or some kind of quality in you, every quality should appear to be something very attractive. So in order for that to happen in you, so the best thing would be to generate a warm-heartedness in you. So if you do that, naturally, so the person who's going to be close to you, so will start appreciating you, and then start seeing all your qualities, all your kind of characteristics to be something very attractive. So this is the tendency in people or beings, that if you try to be compassionate or loving towards the other person, that the person would naturally respond with something very positive. And whereas if you try to be hostile or negative to the other person, so the same response you receive from the other person. So as such, here the advice is that, and if you really want to be happy, if you really want to appear attractive, so the wisest thing to do is try to generate the inner attractiveness, inner source of attraction, that is the warm-heartedness or altruism. So in this earth, we see that people spend a whole lot of money and expenses to beautify this physical body, and they are not spending too much on beautifying this mind. So all the, and also in Taiwan, I suppose there are a whole lot of things and materials to beautify your physical body. So the physical body can be beautified by someone else also. Your physique can be made more beautiful by someone else. But in terms of the beautifying your mind, it should be done through your own effort. And secondly, as Lama Tsongkhapa constantly says, so there's a kind of an element of fulfilling your own desire through offering benefit to others. So even if you simply think about your own personal benefit, so the more you are altruistic, the more you think about others' welfare, so naturally your welfares are being fulfilled as byproduct. So this kind of thinking, which Lama Tsongkhapa discovered, is something amazing, a discovery. So sometimes we have a kind of inclination to say that, generating such an attitude of altruism, well, no doubt, is something very, very nice, very good. But then we tend to have a mistaken idea that, by being altruistic or by developing altruism, so that would have not much to do with one's own welfare or interest. So there then you tend to generate a mistaken idea that as if like you kind of are giving yourself. But in actuality, if you do the other way around, if you simply, the more you try to be altruistic, the more you try to offer benefit to other beings, so all your benefits, all benefits are also derived upon yourself as well. So this means that it's not actually giving in yourself or relinquishing yourself or trying to just disparage yourself. Rather, it also takes into consideration greatly your own benefits as well. Although at a very superficial or at a very provisional level, you are primarily or your focus is totally drawn towards the welfare of others, but one should not be worrying about one's own benefit because they are just coming to you naturally as byproduct. So this should be something that we should really think about. And also in Bodhisattva Avatara by Shantideva, he said that you just let loose of this self-centeredness, self-cherishing, and then try to actually try to be more altruism, try to offer benefit to other beings. If you do that, then you can actually achieve the greatest state of achievement, that is a state of enlightenment for yourself. So this is the higher realization that you can achieve than the state of Buddhahood. So this is something that you derive through being altruistic. So the more compassionate and more altruistic you are, so since that the world is composed in such a way that that every beings, they are interconnected. So however smart, however a powerful one individual person may be, but if he remains totally independent, he cannot actually fulfill his aspirations. And again, as said earlier in our previous teachings, when we speak about how the compassion is trying to gather all the conducive factors around you,
champagne.
So when this sense of attachment, the afflictive attachment that one has, when it tries to gather all the conducive factors for oneself, so because that is kind of biased, that attitude is biased, and also that it is grounded on the mistaken idea, as such, when some kind of adverse condition arises, so this sense of actually attachment naturally gets transformed into a sense of hatred. And whereas this altruism, this sense of compassion towards other beings, when it tries to gather the conducive factors, it can never lead to the transformation to a negative attitude as hatred. So this is kind of the distinction that we can see between these two, the attitudes, the negative and the positive attitude. As such, if you genuinely want to gather as many friends as possible, as many conducive factors as possible, so the wisest thing to do is to generate compassion, generate altruism, generate love towards all other beings.